Mario Girard is in the house, International President of the United Steelworkers Union, the USW. President Girard, good afternoon. Happy Friday. Thank you for taking the time, especially on a Friday before a holiday weekend, sir.
Thank you very much. Good to be on. Sundays are all like the rest, so it doesn't matter.
Let's talk about China. President Trump was talking tough on China, looked like he actually was going to follow through on his tough talk. But his lead negotiator, our Treasury Secretary, is folded to China in the trade negotiations. It would seem instead of trying to make America great again, Trump and the Treasury Secretary are really helping to make China great again.
Well, look at it. So I'm not sure which negative word to use. The fact of the matter is that there's too much of the president making verbal commitments that don't get followed through, and we've got a serious difficulty where we have folks in the close to the president's office at the White House, like Mnuchin and the guy's name I forget that came from CNBC, Larry Kudlow, who are mind-blinded free traders and do everything in their power to stop any advance in protecting workers' jobs and workers' rights and collective bargaining and fair trade and all of that stuff. And the fact of the matter is that whether it talk about steel and aluminum, talk about whatever you want to talk about. The Chinese have a deliberate strategy infiltrating the sort of the works and being prepared to take their lumps of trade remedies, because their plan is to surge the market and put people out of business. And if you want to look at the steel industry in the last 15 years, while China has been taken its production from 500 million tons to 1.2 billion tons on steel, America went from 135 million tons to 85. So if you think about rounded off to a billion, China makes more than 10 times the amount of steel that America makes, and it's prepared to flood the market. So the president has to do something about that. Well, Mnuchin and the right-wingers, that the free traders, tell him you can't do that, you'll start a trade war. When your trade deficit in manufactured goods, TVs, fridges, stoves, what they call durable goods, auto parts, etc., is $375 billion with a B every year, don't tell me we're not already in a trade war. We are. We're just not fighting back. So when the president made that announcement, there was some positive news that the in steel industry be able to operate on a level playing field. Again, people don't know this. We can make steel in North America at the lowest man hours per ton in the world. A ton of steel coming out of China has 300% more carbon emissions than a ton of steel coming out of Cleveland or Los Angeles. If you look at aluminum, we had 15 aluminum smelters. China decided they wanted to dominate the aluminum market. We're now down to 5 smelters, of which 2 are working at half capacity. And again, compared to China, they produce much lower level of carbon emissions. So pick something. You got Chinese telephones that are used to listen in on workers in the United States, citizens in the United States. Commerce Department says you can't buy parts for those phones here in America. President Trump says, oh, China's losing too many jobs. We got to fix that so they can sell stuff here. Crazy.
You know, and so people understand also, Leo, this is, you know, look, this is not just about an industry that we should be a king in. When we're talking about steel, especially, we shouldn't be importing steel. And certainly we shouldn't be importing steel from China, because we've talked about this before, just like the T-shirts, there's a different level of quality with American-made steel, as we've seen with bridges that fall apart with Chinese-made steel. But it's more than this. It's not just the quality of steel, of aluminum, And it's not just the issue of the import, and it's not just the issue of the tariffs or even American jobs. This can technically threaten national security. We know this because there was a year-long investigation to determine whether the steel and aluminum imports threatened national security, right?
Yeah, exactly. And look, at it, again, it, there's easy ways to measure these things. I was in a meeting with, I guess he was one of the financial advisors from Wall Street, Cohen, and he said, well, a trade deficit is a sign of a healthy economy because people can buy goods. And my response to him was a couple of curse words, and then if having a trade deficit is such a good thing, why aren't other industrial countries screaming for one? Why do other industrial countries not say, I want a trade deficit, I want a trade deficit? Because they know that trade deficits are wealth transfers, and when we have a $375 billion a year trade deficit with China, that's the equivalent of giving $375 billion of our money every year. And if you do that over the last 15 years, we've come out somewhere in the neighborhood of $7 trillion. And then you go look at what China's doing with that. They're building the most sophisticated, what they call Blue Water Navy, the most sophisticated ships. We gave them our wing, and we gave them our avionics to build airplanes. This year, they've announced that they're going to sell close to 1,000 airplanes. Pretty soon, you'll be flying on Chinese airplanes.
And not to mention, you know, how many jobs go along with this. I want to also talk about how, you know, we talked about in March, the end of the investigation, you know, into steel and aluminum and if the imports endanger and threaten national security. In April, the next month, the Commerce Department last month forbid U.S. companies to sell components to ZTE for 7 years. And the reason was ZTE violated an earlier sanction agreement. Last month, the president also imposed 25% tariffs on $50 billion worth of Chinese technology imports, following an investigation that determined China had engaged in practices that were prohibited, cyber theft, forced technology transfer. And then China responded by placing tariffs on our imports, specifically U.S. goods like food from the Midwestern states, which are very GOP states. And then the president hit back by threatening tariffs on an additional $100 million in Chinese imports. Where does it stand right now with ZTE?
Well, he told Wilbur Ross, the Secretary of Commerce, to get this thing resolved quickly because China was losing too many jobs on this. That's literally what he said. And so that what it is that we have too many of the financial engineers from Wall Street, too many of the political elite that are on the take from Wall Street in their campaigns to have the guts to stand up and fight back. And again, whatever the product is, you ask yourself the question: if they're now having a $365 billion a year trade deficit, and we keep that up for another 10 years, what will we be able to make in America if we don't change the circumstances we're in now, and we keep doing what we're doing? Where do you think we'll end up? So when you talk about GTE, the president gave marching orders to get that resolved as quickly as possible, because it was costing Chinese jobs. Can you imagine that? And when they attacked the farm market, well, Smithfield is one of the largest pork producers in the world, owned by the Chinese. The Chinese control that. So when they then start talking about, well, we're going to limit imports on agricultural products, we should say, fine, we're not going to limit it. We'll limit our exports on pork. See what they do then. We got to fight fire with fire. And then when they talk about soybeans, well, what the United States should say, okay, if you don't want our soybeans, we're going to take them and we're going to add value to them ourselves. We ship raw soybeans to China, and China adds value to those soybeans, and they send them back. And we then have a trade deficit on soybeans.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more, not only about China, about trade cheating, about the Treasury Secretary, and what the tariffs have done with the position that it's put the Treasury Secretary in after the president's tariffs. We're also going to talk about ZTE, and we'll definitely talk about China. We're doing all of this with President Leo Gerard, president of the USW, the United Steelworkers. Pick up the phone and join us, 8886-LESLIE. 888-653-7543. That's 888-6-LESLIE. If you want to share your opinions, your questions, your comments, your concerns, you have a question for President Girard, he is in the house live joining us right now. And we need to talk about this, folks. Pick up the phone, 888-6-LESLIE. Don't go away. We are back on Leslie Marshall. He is President Leo Girard, President of the USW, the United Steelworkers. On this Friday, you want to join us, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. President Girard, in your blog, you wrote that the tariffs, Trump's tariffs, put the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, in a position of strength in negotiations with the Chinese over trade cheating and the massive U.S. trade deficit with China, but that he squandered that by lifting the tariffs and getting nothing solid in return. Quote, inexplicably, Trump's lead negotiator, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, quickly folded in talks in Washington, D.C. last week. He left 2 days of negotiations with top Chinese officials with what amounts to an unenforceable letter of intent. Can you talk to us a bit more about that?
Sure. I'd need to sort of back up maybe the letters of intent. In the period we were talking about in the previous segment, the United States and China were involved in five what they call high-level meetings over the last 15 years. And those five high-level meetings were to talk about the domestic oversupply of almost every industrial product, everything from solar panels to steel to cement to tires and rubber, you pick it. And in those 15 years of negotiations, China broke every promise they made. So for Steve Mnuchin to come back with a letter of intent from China is not even worth the paper that it's written on. It doesn't mean a thing. Nothing will happen. And it showed that he's a cowardice and a loudmouth for the Wall Street gang who want to do nothing so that they can keep working both sides of the fence. And he really let America down as far as I'm concerned. But you know what? He was made chairman of the visit by the president. Would have been better if Wilbur Ross was, or Bob Lighthizer from the U.S. Trade Representative, Wilbur Ross from the Commerce Department. Treasury doesn't do any manufacturing. Treasury is there to keep an eye on Wall Street, and in this case, Mnuchin has given them a gift.
The Wall Street Journal reported that the United States and China had reached a tentative deal to save ZTE. Despite the fact that ZTE failed to honor an earlier agreement, and that was made after it violated trade embargoes against both Iran and North Korea. A couple of things. One, why are we trying to save ZTE? Should we be? And two, does China hold all the aces? I mean, they brag that it trounced the United States in trade talks.
Yeah, look, the problem for us is that we have nobody on our side. Like I said, Steve Mnuchin and Gary Cohen and Larry Kudlow and all of them, they're blind free traders no matter what. And when they're part of the delegation, you can be goddamn sure that they're not going to do anything that's going to undermine their Wall Street buddies and try to make things better for Main Street. And the team that's for doing something, which is Secretary Ross, USTR Lighthizer, and senior advisor Peter Navarro, they were sent to play second fiddle. And we've had enough experience with Chinese promises, much stronger than a letter, that they broke every time. And when you have a $375 billion trade surplus with America, at some point you got to understand that that can't continue. It just can't continue. That's a wealth transfer of $375 billion a year. To do that for 10 years, that's $3.5 billion, and it's money from us to them. Why do you think our bridges are falling down? Why do you think we haven't had real wage increases since the mid-70s? Because we've embarked on this stupid trade regime that does nothing for workers and lines the pockets of the already rich and powerful, and it presents labor arbitrage.
the Commerce Department, after they first sanctioned ZTE in 2017, they had to create a presentation to explain what it done. Their lessons list included don't lie, don't restart your criminal activity during the investigation, don't create a written approved corporate strategy to systematically violate the law, or else you might end up with an enormous fine like ZTE's. Are we sending mixed messages to China, to ZTE, to Iran and North Korea, Leo?
Absolutely. And look, I'm not sure that I'm in a position to allege something, but I had a friend that said he didn't believe in coincidences. We got the complaint from China about ZTE. The president told Wilbur Ross to fix that as soon as possible. And just a few days later, China makes a $500 million investment in a big project in I think it's Indonesia, for the Trump family.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to be back with President Girard. Be sure to pick up the phone and join us, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. During the break, go to Twitter, and on Twitter, follow Leo. His handle is at USWblogger. Also, follow the USW. You want to get their tweets and find out what's going on. The USW's handle is at Steelworkers, and the website is usw.org. Once again, Leo's handle at USWblogger. The handle for the USW is at Steelworkers, and the website is usw.org. I'm Leslie Marshall, talking with President Leo Girard, President, International President of the United Steelworkers Union. Pick up the phone and join us with questions or comments. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. We are back, so is he. Happy Friday. I'm Leslie Marshall in the house, International President of the United Steelworkers, Leo Girard. Leo, thank you for holding. Welcome back. So much to talk about with regard to Trump, ZTE, China. Initially, it seemed like the president would reverse the penalties against ZTE. That's when he tweeted that he was working with a Chinese President Xi to prevent the loss of 75,000 ZTE jobs in China. Later, Commerce Secretary Ross suggested ZTE would not get off lightly. So it's not really clear where it stands, and it seems like the president stands with China, but at least it would seem Congress is standing with the United States.
Well, look at it. It's one of those things where you shake your head. Part of the reason ZTE was sanctions was the points that you made a few minutes ago, and the fact that they not only were buying stuff from those countries, but they were spying, allegedly, using that telephone system that they had the ability. And prior to that, the United States had already taken a position that none of those telephones from ZTE should go into any military complex. And for the president to be concerned and to tell the secretary to get this fixed because the Chinese were losing jobs. We're losing hundreds of thousands of jobs to unfair Chinese trade. And as I said, you can pick any industrial project you want. China seems to have decided that they're willing to take the penalties from unfair trade. And then with that, to simply move ahead and take the penalties and take our market. They just announced not too long ago, about 3 years ago, that they plan to dominate the world in solar panels, even if they have to operate and taking the penalties and operate under the cost of production till they dominate the world and take the trade remedies from the various countries. That's a level of arrogance in trade that needs to be sanctioned.
We're going to take some calls. Let's go to Oregon on line 3 with Rick. Rick, good afternoon. Welcome, question or comment for our guest, President Leo Girard.
Thank you, Leslie. President Girard, I'm thinking that maybe the labor, which has been under attack now for too many years and needs to do something constructive and through the court systems. I'm thinking that if you started a task force to see if we can take these criminals, these corrupt criminals like Mnuchin and even Trump, to court under the RICO Act, because they are definitely have broken federal laws in this type of trade agreements. The biggest crime, of course, is when they gave the billionaires $1.5 trillion They should have gone to reconstructing America. I mean, we needed to use U.S. steel to build bridges, tunnels, railway systems, and the electric grid. It seems to me that these people are, in some ways, traitorous to American values and needs. How do you feel about that?
Well,
President Girard?
Yeah, you raise a couple of points. There's so much stuff that's happening that is negative that isn't getting covered by the media. And I don't mean this as a criticism of the media, because the president keeps throwing out red meat, not just to his base, but to the media, of things they have to cover, while at the same time, different departments in his administration are gutting all of the rules. And the one thing why you hear no noise out of Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, is Mitch's project, his pet project, is to load the court system up with right-wing judges, many of which are not even qualified, some of which have never been in a courtroom, but to fill the courts with right-wing judges. And if you remember back during the Obama days, they couldn't get a judge through this to save their life. And this guy is flooding the bench with that. So wanting to bring charges is going to be very difficult. We've even got the Supreme Court, who's on the verge of saying that public sector workers don't have to pay union dues to cover the cost of their collective bargaining, called the Janus proposal. And in addition to that, the other point that you made, we don't have the laws, I guess, to bring charges against someone because they're too stupid to negotiate a good trade deal. And to be blunt, the best ways that I see of dealing with this is to ask people, if we do the same thing for the next 15 years that we did for the last 15 years, what will America's industrial base like? And if having a trade deficit is such a good thing, why does no other nation want one? And I don't remember what the first part of your other question was.
Caller, can you repeat the first part of your other question, because the president couldn't hear you?
About what? I forgot now. The first part of the question about, the trade deals, but not, the giveaways to corporations and the billionaires.
That reminds me of the point when you made the $1.2 trillion. Depending on who you believe, one of the Wall Street firms, announced that close to 65% of the money from the tax cut has gone to share buybacks. Another group, not associated with Wall Street, said that the majority of the money that went to buy share buybacks was closer to 85% of the $1.2 trillion. Only 14% is used to improve wages for working people, allegedly, and only a couple of handful of corporations publicly issued a bonus. But the problem with giving somebody a bonus is that you got it today, but tomorrow you're back to where you were. And so rather than use that kind of resource to rebuild the infrastructure of America that would create real jobs where people can earn a living and put that together, instead they just gave a gift to corporate America of the already rich and powerful. Sheldon Adelson donated $30 million back to the Republican Party as a thank you gift, because he's going to save literally tens of millions more than that.
Thank you for the response, President Girard, on those two questions. Let's go next to Michael, who is on line 4 in the Bronx in New York. Michael, good afternoon. Question or comment for President Girard?
Hi, Leslie, and hi, Leo. You know, all this that you were telling or mentioning about Trump, if I can call the words chickening out of this foreign dignitary, it seems to me there's a pattern here that he has more interest in engaging in business dealings with the foreign dignitaries, and then yet he's pretty much dumping on the American people And then, you know, it gives me more suspicion in terms of if there's even a bigger proof of the Russia collusion. And then he, instead of standing up against the foreign interests that is pretty much stiffing America, now he wants to bully Americans, as we see clearly see with the NFL and his disregard for the unions and people's rights.
Interesting, Michael. Thank you for that. President Girard?
Well, look, I think that these are very hard issues to respond to. And part of the reason is that you never know what's going to be said next. And on trade, you know, that when we were talking originally about steel and aluminum. Well, when the president says to China that he's going to put that in abeyance because they're having good meetings, those steel and aluminum companies are on the verge of making investments, restarting some mills, and putting people back to work. Now they're not sure what to do because they're not sure if the president's going to follow through or not. So one of the things that we need some consistency. And when you look at all the negative things that are happening, the Republican Party, the Republican caucus in the House and the Senate, and the Republican Party leadership are silent. They're not standing up for America. They're not standing up for dealing with the trade deficit that's out of control. They're not standing up for fixing America's infrastructure. I mean, if they really cared about infrastructure, if they really cared, I should say, about the country, they would have said, rather than find a way to giving billionaires hundreds of millions of dollars, let's find a way to build our infrastructure, our water plants. You know, we leak over 1 billion gallons of water a day. That's water that's already been through a treatment facility that we've spent energy on, that we've created carbon emissions that we've created, and then that water drips into the water system. We've got water supply pipes that every winter burst because some of them are 50, 60, 70 years old. So there's all kinds of things we could do to fix the infrastructure, fix the energy grid, because when you put energy on the grid and you ship it over a couple of hundred miles, it loses about 20% of its generation. Well, we're paying for that generation to get on the grid. Even though it's getting lost, somebody paid to get it on the grid, someone's paying to get it off. And so you fix the energy grid, fix our ports so that we can bring in the kind of stuff and ship out the kind of stuff that creates good family jobs. I mean, as you can just pick everything, the infrastructure is falling apart, and we're busy giving tax cuts and gifts, economic gifts to people that don't need them.
I want to talk about, you said, you know, people fear, critics fear that the president is ceding too much to China on trade. There was an article in the Washington Post that said Mnuchin is giving away the store, gave away the store. Do you agree?
Yeah. That the only thing that they could have done that would have been a benefit is to stand up to China, because China still needs the American market. They still need the kind of stuff that, for example, like I said earlier, we allowed Boeing to sell them the wing design on an airplane, a commercial aircraft. You know, that wing isn't just a wing. It's been about 50 years in development and research and development continuously. We had GE sell them the avionics for the airplane. Well, GE got some contracts to help build some airplanes. Now the Chinese are building them themselves. And like I said, they're talking about building thousands of planes. Who will they be competing against? They'll be competing against the people who gave them the break. And at America's expense and with America's approval. No other country will let you give that away. No one gets the design of Airbus's wing and Airbus's avionics. But we gave it away from Boeing my brain just died.
It's okay. It's Friday. President Girard, after days of criticism of a deal that we all know is very weak, the Trump administration announced it launched an investigation into whether imports of foreign cars threaten national security. European EU officials said they're confused. They're frustrated over the move. Where do you stand on this move?
Well, look, I think that my concern is this. Canada and the U.S. had a trade deal on autos, and now Canada's been thrown in with the Chinese and everyone else. The fact of the matter is that we have to worry about the auto industry drifting south to Mexico. Mexican workers deserve a better deal than this. And the fact is that it's good that the president is looking at autos and looking at them as a national security issue. But the problem is he doesn't discern from who his friends are and who his enemies are. When we're told that we're going to have to compete with Chinese automobiles pretty soon, you know damn well what's going to happen. And so I think we need a strategy to make sure that the auto industry stays and grows in a North American context. I was with the auto workers one night, and they were doing an interview, and they asked the president of the auto workers about the economy, and he said, look, you see the trucks going back and forth between Windsor and America. A car made in America has all kinds of parts made in Canada. A car in Canada has all parts made in America, but none of them should have to have parts that are made in China.
Amen to that. You know, we did a poll online, President Girard, on Twitter, and our poll on Twitter asked, has the president done a good job of standing up to China on trade policy or absolutely not after Trump and Steve Mnuchin lifted tariffs and helped ZTE after getting nothing in return from China but a letter of intent? 94% said, no, we need better. 6% said, yes, doing great. And this was hundreds of votes. And this we just ran while you were on and right before you came on. 94% said, no, we need better. I mean, everybody out there, this isn't like left or right. Everybody knows, no, this is not a good deal.
Yeah, and part of the reason they know it's not a good deal is you watch what's happening in the overall system. And because the president said he's going to do something doesn't mean it's going to get done. And right now we had 700 to 800 of our people in Washington the last 3 days going from congressional office to congressional office, both House and Senate, explaining to the members of the House and Senate what these bad trade deals are costing America in real jobs, what they're costing us economically, like I said, about the wealth transfers. And that at some point, people have to start standing up for America, American workers, American jobs. Pick whatever you want to pick. Steel, aluminum, tires, glass, ceramic, cement. We make every one of them more efficiently than almost anyone else in the world. You know, China makes more cement in a month. This is a pretty scary. China makes more cement in a month than America has made in the last 100 years, in 1 month. And so what do you think they're going to do with that surplus cement? They're not sending it over as cement blocks. They're sending it over as powder. What do you think they're going to do with that? They're going to flood the market, keep our cement industry from growing. So pick tires. We got tires for cars. We got replacement tires. We filed a case against China under Section 421. We won the case. There was a three-year remedy. On 6 months after the remedy expired, China put 50.1 million of those tires into our market. 50.1 million in less than 6 months. Where the hell do you think that came from? Auto parts. We tried to bring a case against auto parts. We couldn't define what was an auto part, but we found out in the investigation that China gave a 10% rebate on any product that auto part that was sent to America, put in American vehicles. They got a 10% rebate. I mean, you know, somebody ought to have some guts and stand up for the country, stand up for the workers. Take a stand, and when China says we're not going to take your soybeans, we're not going to take your pork, it's not your, it's not China's, it's not our pork, it's China's pork. They own the biggest pork processor. They own the biggest chicken processor. They own some of the biggest soybean farms. They own it. And when we take action, they threaten to not let us use it, what we own, or we used to.
Leo, You've said so much today. We couldn't get to all the calls because, you know, we have you for an hour less when you add the commercials. So we are so glad that you took the time on this Friday before the holiday weekend. Have a wonderful weekend. I hope you get some time off on this Memorial Day. You know we love you. Leo Girard, International President of the United Steelworkers. Please follow him on Twitter, at USW Blogger, the handle for the USW. If you want to follow them, and you should as well, the Steelworkers, at Steelworkers, and the website is usw.org.